Hi there. Welcome to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. This podcast is all about creating a community of like-minded individuals who are passionate about the field of health informatics. I hope to share information and advice in topics such as health analytics, digital health, biomedical engineering, and data visualization in healthcare. And in exchange, I would love to hear from you, dear listener, about your experience and interest in this field. You can drop me a line at healthanalyticinsights@gmail.com. And this email, along with any references discussed during this podcast, will be listed in the show notes below. If this resonates with you, don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast, as I'll be releasing new episodes bi-weekly. Welcome everyone back to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. And on this episode, I'm so excited to be interviewing Patrick Holly, who is a health information technology professional with a background in data analytics. He has extensive knowledge of electronic health records and is the creator of the Health IT Academy, a website with a wealth of resources for individuals looking to break into health informatics. So welcome, Patrick. And I was just wondering if you can start off with giving the audience a bit about your background and how did you get into health informatics?
Awesome. Thank you for having me. So again, my name is Patrick Holly. First question is, how did you get into health informatics? Since I was young, I've always been into computers and technology in general. I've always been about innovating and just trying to find new technologies and ways of doing things. So when I got into college, I always wanted to be like IT or something in computers. So at the time, I wasn't as great at math. I noticed that IT was a field that I could get into, didn't have to know much about math, but I could also bring my computer skills along with me to kind of help me out and navigate through my career. I went to a few different schools. I went to Florida State University undergrad. While I was at Florida State, I took IT as my major, but it also had a concentration towards health informatics. So I was able to get the broad introduction to IT and technology and how information and technology merge. And then also I was able to get the experience in healthcare and understanding what the issues are in healthcare and how technology can help improve those problems. So I thought it was really cool. And I think around the time I was in undergrad, in the US, President Obama was just getting into office and he did a lot of stuff with health IT or healthcare insurance, right? So a lot of the healthcare insurance was about digitizing healthcare records, and that's where I kind of fit in. So I saw this big push towards health IT and just digitizing healthcare. And I thought, wow, this would be something real cool. And while I was picking my major, I noticed that it did have this health informatics. I think I went home and studied it a little bit and I was like, I'm going to take this. And it's funny because I always tell people one of the reasons that I really got into it was because health informatics had one of the smallest course loads. So when I said course loads, when it came to like the main courses within health IT, I think there was only two courses that were dedicated towards health IT. And of course, as a college student, you don't really want to do much. But I also saw this as a benefit because I was in the IT undergrad. So that also let me try out different things within the IT field, but not necessarily just be strictly health IT. So I was able to try networking, security, web development. I was also able to try out help desk, which having that hands-on experience or being introduced to that information really helped me understand how I could be of value to any organization that hired, whether it be an IT organization or an organization that deals with healthcare data, whatever it may be. So that's pretty much how I got into the field. I ended up getting my undergrad in health informatics and IT. And just recently, I went back to school to George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and I took their online health informatics master's program. So that was about 2 years, 10 courses, and I actually was able to finish that with a 4.0, which was my goal. That's pretty much my health IT experience from more of a educational background.
And I was just wondering, during your education, did you have any chances to do placements? or any more like hands-on opportunities, or was it more like theoretical learning in the classroom?
Yeah, there were a lot of theoretical and simulations, but I think the most benefit I got out of my undergrad program was our IT practicum, which I think almost every health IT or IT college program has like an IT practicum where you can get that immersive feel. With our IT practicum, our course project was to go out and find an internship, which I think was critical for me getting into health IT industry. And I think that's really important because in this class, we were supposed to go out and find an IT internship. And I was kind of upset that there was only one health IT. So the local hospital in the area, which was Tallahassee Memorial Hospital at the time, that was the only health IT related internship. And of course, if you were in health IT, it was slim pickings to get in it. It was just really hard to get into that. And I did try and someone actually reached back to me, but I didn't like the competitiveness. And I thought that, you know, with me being as dedicated, I could go out and find one. If I could track down exactly what health IT meant, I'm pretty sure I could go find one. And I've never had a problem getting a job. So I just took it as like a challenge. So I did have about 2 months to find an internship. And instead of going to the hospital that was offered, I think one day I was walking down the street on campus. So I was going to Florida State University at the time, and I was walking down the street. And at the time it was called Thagard Medical Center. And it was the on-campus hospital or on-campus infirmary, right? So I remember walking in, and the first thing I saw on the wall was this directory. And the first item on the directory said Office of CIO or Chief Information Officer. And I thought that was really cool because I always wanted to be a CIO. So Chief Information Officer, that was like my dream job. So even walking in there, I was like, wait, how does a hospital or how does this medical center or clinic have a CIO? And then it clicked, wait, this is health IT. This medical center or medical clinic also needs IT. And I can only assume that their IT would be more tailored towards healthcare data and more healthcare operations. And I think once I understood that, like the light bulb went off and it was just, oh, wait, how can I get a better understanding of like more ways that IT intersects with healthcare. And then, you know, everywhere I went, I started to see it, right? When you look at the news and they start talking about healthcare stats, I'm like, wait, that's healthcare data. Somebody crunched those numbers and that person, you know, could be looked at as a health informatist, you know, whatever it meant. It started to excite me more and more. And then as I progressed along in my career, and worked with different types of healthcare data and different ways to get healthcare data, it just got more and more exciting. And just working with doctors who most likely don't know about health informatics, right? They know how to take care of the patient, but they don't really know how that data has been collected, cleansed, and put in front of you so that you can make better decisions. So I would say that, yes, it was that IT practicum that really got my start in health IT. And, you know, for anyone out there looking for your first role, like, put yourself out there. I mean, I think the biggest thing is there's so many, you can go down the street, there's dentists, there's cardiology, there's so many healthcare and medical clinics that need help, and they just need someone who's tech savvy. These people most likely are not tech savvy. They know how to take care of patients, but when it comes to a computer, they may not have the best help. And our new generation with the millennials, like, we're brought up on computers. So that's something that you could go into a medical clinic and help. And it could be something that takes you 5 minutes, but you could save that practice so much time. So I think just being able to put yourself out there is really important for anyone starting out in healthcare. I was really fortunate that I was able to find that role to begin with. So
yeah, I love that story. And that's such good advice to, you know, health IT, I feel like right now is a bit of a niche field, but thinking about all the different backdoor ways that you can get into health IT, like even if you have public health expertise, like there's a lot of health informatics, public health positions out there. If you think about the CDC, and then in Canada, we have Health Canada. A lot of these government organizations are a good way to get in there. Different small practices, as you said,
So just kind of understanding that technology is really integrated into all aspects of healthcare and just trying to find ways that you can either internship or volunteer, I think is really good advice for people just getting into this field, because it can be hard to find internships or standard co-ops in this field, but just thinking about creative ways, like as you said, is a really good tip. And on that, as I said before, it's a pretty niche field. How do you kind of explain what you do to your family and friends and people around you? How do you talk about what you do to different individuals?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's always difficult, right? Whenever you're trying to explain technology and how it relates to people, right? You got to come up with these like advanced examples. But I think to keep it really simple, what I say is I pretty much deal with computers in healthcare, right? So computer data. And then I try to break it down to a scenario. In recent events, like what's been happening with COVID, it's made it a lot easier to explain health IT because we've had so much exposure to the end results of what health IT looks like, right? So when we look at COVID dashboards, where we can look at state by state, the death rates and immunization rates and you know, people who are catching the virus, those are all aspects of health IT. So when I'm able to break it down and say, in healthcare, there's the actual operations of healthcare, right? Like you get sick, you go to the doctor, you're seen by your doctor. And then there's also the stuff that happens behind the scenes, which is us collecting your data. When you go into your doctor's office, you're typically gonna fill out a healthcare form, right? That's healthcare data. That's the beginning of your healthcare file, right? Doctors use these systems to document your record, right? That's the EHR, the electronic medical record. So all of these tools are collecting data that can be used further down the line to do some type of data analysis and provide results that will hopefully improve health outcomes in general. So when I'm explaining it, I say, when you go to your doctor, first thing they're going to do is take your vitals. And one of those really important vitals are blood pressure, you know, your weight, your BMI, whatever it may be. That is just the beginning of the data analysis, right? So your BMI, typically, if you're in between a certain range, you are not obese. But if you're outside of that range, you're either obese or you are undereating. You're not really meeting the weight requirements for someone who's that height and that weight. That's the very elementary root of this, right? Like if I was to go into my doctor and I was out of range for blood pressure, I would hope that my doctor would say, hey, your blood pressure is elevated. Let's do this, right? So being able to take that number, evaluate that number and say, hey, you're out of this range is the simplest form of health IT or health informatics. Being able to take data, look at that data and do something with it or get better information from it. So when I'm explaining health IT, I always try to say there's many different routes that you can look at health IT, but in its basic form, it's looking at healthcare data to make better healthcare decisions or to make improved healthcare decisions. Whenever we think about healthcare and technology, we always want it to make some type of improvement, right? Like nobody wants to implement a technology that's going to make things worse. So whenever we think about health IT, we want to, ideally thinking, we want to envision that this technology is going to make things better. So whether it be collecting data to make procedures or better decision-making, better interventions, more targeted interventions, things like that, all of that goes into health IT, even to the different software that you're using to interact with your patients, right? Like these EHR systems, they are supposed to make the doctor's job easier while they're seeing the patients and also make it as a easy medium to store this data and collect this data and do data analysis. But of course that hasn't always been happening, but you know, it's really just how healthcare and technology intersect and how we can better improve that and keep that improvement going.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that answer. And you know, it comes down to making better informed decisions with the data, with the healthcare data. Doing no harm to the best of your ability. And I think that's kind of somehow a bit why healthcare kind of lags when it comes to other industries in terms of technological advancements, because we really have to make sure that we're thinking about patient safety. We're not rushing into certain advancements. So it can be a bit slow paced at times, but there's good reasoning behind it. And we've talked a bit about the EHRs. Can you talk about like the work that you've done in the past with EHRs, maybe your current work that you're doing, and how you would better design EHR systems to reduce clinician burnout?
So with my internship, I was the IT support specialist. So my job was really to go around if the systems failed, if there was some type of issue with our doctors or the nurses' computer, I was basically there to save them. The IT guy with the, you know, the shiny hat. Hey, your system's down. That's how I got started with like EHR. So basically just making sure that if people had issues or any help desk, right? I was like basically the help desk manager for that medical center. But with that job, I was introduced to how the back end of these EHR systems worked. And during that time, I think we were on a college EHR system. So again, EHR is electronic health record or electronic medical records, but basically the system that doctors use to store your health information. So we were, when I started at Thagard Medical Center at Florida State, we were on a college-based EHR system. And our job was to switch from this college-based system to a real certified EHR system. And at the time, we chose eClinical Works, which is a well-known EHR system for more of the, I would say, specialist small docs. You don't really see too many big hospitals. Of course, there are big hospital systems and big healthcare systems using eClinical Works. But from what I've seen in my previous experiences are that there's really small 1 to 10 doctor practices that are using eClinical Works. So at the time, I'm not sure how many providers we had at the medical center, but I was able to see a full implementation of an EHR system. And of course, it just really sparked my interest, right? Like being able to ditch this old system and start this new system, you know. And I think what people don't understand is dealing with healthcare IT, you're also dealing with so many different skill sets. Like whenever I think about an EHR implementation, it is heavy in project management, heavy in change management. It's heavy in processes and standard operating procedures and making sure that you have all of your processes down, with your goals, your objectives, things like that, and just making sure that everyone's involved, right? So seeing an EHR implementation, I was able to be this like liaison between upper management and really the people using the system. So I got to hear feedback from people who were used to using this old system, and now they're kind of griping about having to switch over, right? Nobody wants to change, right? So I got to understand the dynamics of why change management was important and why you need to be transparent about why we're choosing this EHR system, what benefit it's going to bring to you, what expectations you should have, what assumptions you should have, all of these things that go into making sure that an implementation goes well, just that even the different type of implementations, right? There's, and I'm sure anybody in healthcare is going to know, like there's this big bang and then there's this phased in approach. And luckily throughout my career, I've been able to see both approaches multiple times to the point where I am totally 50-50 when it comes to choosing an approach, because I think it all varies. But when we start talking about like my introduction to EHR, of course, it all started with my first internship. I ended up leaving Florida State University after I graduated, and I worked there for about 2 to 3 years after. Shout out to Pete Peterson, who was my first boss. So he was the CIO that I ended up contacting. But while I was there, luckily I was, you know, introduced to just different types of IT and how it interacted with healthcare. So I was able to see the databases that were behind these EHR systems and how these tables looked with inside this database. And then also, I was able to see healthcare operations. I think the most important part was I was able to talk to providers and clinicians and understand what are the type of things they're looking for and how I could help them do their job and reduce the burden. So My next job, I ended up moving back to Washington, D.C., and I was working at this hospital system that was actually branching out. So I wasn't working in the hospital. I was actually working for the ambulatory services, so more of like outpatient. And at the time, they were starting an MSO, which is like a managed service organization. So basically, our hospital group would go out and buy up these healthcare or these small doctor's offices. And we would either buy them out or they would contract to work with us under a salary or whatever it may be. I'm not sure of the exact negotiations, but to me, I looked at it as we're buying them out, and it seemed as if they surrendered all their power to us, right? And it was so weird working that job. And I think working that job really made me a lot more closer to providers and understanding that these doctors, a lot of them that start their own doctor's offices, they are entrepreneurs. They want to see their business succeed. They don't want to get bought out and start working under some salary. And some people may enjoy that, but I'm talking specifically to really these small practices who really wanted to just help their community. And in that process of me being in my second job, it seemed like a machine, which is weird to say, right? We would buy this practice out and we would say, hey, whatever EHR you're on, we're ditching it. We've already chose this EHR. And luckily, the EHR at the time was eClinical Works. So I was already familiar with eClinical Works. I had experience for 3 years working at the university. And I think that's why this job kind of brought me on. I think they knew that they were going for eClinical Works and they wanted someone experienced. I didn't like the process of it, right? It felt like we were snatching dreams away. And just hearing from the docs and, you know, hey, we've been, healthcare changes so much and it's just so hard to keep up. This is the only thing we can do. And I hate it to hear, this is the only thing we can do. We've got to sell our practice. And now we have to be managed by, you know, it was such a weird feeling. So I ended up leaving that job, but I think I really made great connections with the providers, and it always stuck into my head that my next job, I want to work with the providers more. So I ended up leaving the hospital system and I was looking for a job that I currently have. And I ended up getting that job. And let me go back to the second job I had. So the second job, I went through three different roles. I started as a IT support analyst, moved to network support analyst. And then my last role was computer application specialist. So to me, these were all, I think the first two were like really weird job titles, but I think management was really trying to understand what the job title was going to be for me. And I had to also advocate for a job title that I wanted. And computer application specialist was one that I thought highlighted my expertise working as an IT professional or an IT specialist, being able to serve help desk, right? Being able to help people with all these different programs. So I like the whole computer application, right? Like it didn't matter what application it was. If it's on a computer or it's a program, I can master it, learn it, and teach you a better way to use it. So I had to advocate for that role, but I think that role kind of helped me with my next role. So my next role, when I started with Allity, the company that I'm at now, was EHR coordinator. And I remember applying for that job because I was like, finally, I have a role with EHR in it. Like I've been working with EHRs for like the past 5 to 6 years and no one knows that I work with EHRs. They just think I'm just a normal IT guy. And I wanted people to know that I'm like IT guy and I also know healthcare. I started working at Allidate, and just to kind of describe Allidate, Allidate is an accountable care organization. So in the United States, there's a big push towards moving away from fee-for-service to value-based care. How do we stop focusing on the sick patient and focus on preventing that patient from being sick? So, you know, we're an accountable care organization, and basically our main goal is to reduce the healthcare spend, and depending on how much we reduce that healthcare spend, we are able to share in that saving. We're able to split that with our practices, and we are also able to keep a portion. And of course, it all depends on the contract of those practices. But the reason I really liked my job, and I didn't know why I really liked it as much as I did, was, for one, it's a startup company. So me being a tech guy, you know, me being IT and looking at and growing up on Silicon Valley movies, I always wanted to work for a startup. You know, my dream was to always to work for like a Google or, you know, one of these healthcare startups or just a startup in general and feel that like Silicon Valley feeling. So when I found out that the company was a startup, I was like, amazing. And at the time I was living in DC. So I was like, wow, it's a startup and I don't even have to move to California, right?
Yeah.
So when I started working for Aladee, I always like to tell everybody, it's a lot of work because I didn't know how much healthcare data could be analyzed. And just to even go further into Aladee, like, to me, they are, in the essence, the perfect example of what a health IT company should be doing. If there was a company that was specifically there to help doctors gather data and turn that data into meaningful insights, that is what Aladee does. So we collect data from all different type of sources and we're able to aggregate that together. And when you're in front of your doctor can also see that, oh, you may have went to Florida, even though you may have went to somewhere else and had treatment. So it's really important for your doctor to see that holistic view, right? It's always great for your doctor to see what happens outside of their walls. And without us being able to aggregate data from all over the country, they would never be able to get that information. And they would have to rely on the patient. And, you know, I can't remember the last time I got my flu shot down to the exact date. So why do we rely on the patient when there's data that shows that this person was seen, this person was billed this, they had this medication. There's so much data that we can mine and that will give us true, accurate answers. How would I design EHR systems better? It's probably best that I start with my biggest issue with EHR systems. I feel that these systems are put together to meet regulatory compliance. Many of them are not put together with the doctor in mind. And that's crazy to hear because a lot of these EHR systems are pioneered by doctors and people who work in the industry. But I think somewhere that disconnect happens. And instead of focusing on reducing administrative burden and keeping the patient at the center of care, I feel like a lot of these EHR systems are pieced together just to make whatever that next regulatory policy or to be cleared and get the next level of compliance, right? It's not put together with the doctor in mind. And if I was to improve something, I would start off by making things more automated. I think doctors have to right now press too many buttons and check too many checkboxes just to show that they've done their work. Where if they're documenting in certain areas there, I feel like the EHR should do that work for them. If I do a falls risk screening on a patient and I type in falls risk screening completed, my EHR should be able to either read that note and say, this verbiage was put in there, give them credit, or there just needs to be different ways to automate the work that the doctors are doing so that they don't have to spend time or what they call pajama time. Like they say that on average, a doctor spends about 90 minutes after their job still documenting in a note. So being able to reduce that load, reducing clicks, right? Like every doctor is going to tell you, I don't like how many clicks it takes just for me to prescribe a medication. I don't like how many clicks it takes for me to do a falls risk screening, whatever it may be, making things more intuitive. If I know that a patient is coming in for this type of visit, my EHR should be set up in a way to bring in those aspects of that visit and guide that provider along the way to make the right documentation. When it comes to documentation and what they need to be documenting for a certain patient to meet certain regulatory guidelines, maybe from Medicare or CMS, typically they learn about that when they're being dinged, meaning a lot of them will learn about a new law after they've been penalized. So a lot of doctors are starting behind the ball, where I feel like their EHR needs to be saying, hey, I see you did a false risk, this, this, and that. I want to give you credit for this. You should put these CPT codes so that Medicare knows, or some type of automation. I think right now things in the EHR are just too manual. And with so much technology and artificial intelligence and things like that, I just think that people don't understand how much time is saved when you automate a process. So if I can reduce 10 clicks from a provider every patient, I mean, I'm probably reducing about an hour's worth of work throughout the whole day. Throughout a whole week, we're talking about 5 hours, right? Like, and that stuff adds up. We're talking about 20 hours within a month, right? So I think EHR systems need to, one, become more automated. And I think they also need to work better with other EHRs and other health information exchanges. EHRs are like the Wild Wild West, right? Everybody's doing their own thing as long as it meets compliance. And when you think from a standardization point of view, that doesn't really help people like me who work with multiple different EHRs. In my career, I've probably worked with about 50 different EHRs, and they are all different. From the way you document it to the way you show what you've done, it's all different. And I think there needs to be a lot more standardization around EHRs. And, you know, if you're going to have this product, your product needs to be able to, one, talk to every other product. It needs to be able to integrate with all of the health information exchanges. And these EHRs also need to share data. The reason there's a big issue right now is because they hoard their data. They hoard it, right? You know, and I understand security within healthcare is a super big thing, right? Especially when you talk about HIPAA. But I think there are really a lot more of a stingy effect, right? Like, it's my EHR system. I collect this data. It's my intellectual property. I'm not sharing it. And to say that, when I hear something like that, I think it's my data. I'm not going to help that patient if they go to you. And that's how I feel when it comes to just dealing with some of these EHR that are like pulling teeth just to say, hey, we want to set up an interface so that our doctors can understand their population better when it comes to population health, things like that. And some of these EHR systems just will not work with you. So I think another thing I would do is try to come up with a collaborative where every EHR needs to be a part. If you are a certified EHR, you need to be a part of this collaborative. There needs to be measures somehow in place to reduce administrative burden. The switch from fee-for-service to value-based care is amazing, but it's also creating a lot of paperwork for doctors and a lot of different box checking that makes their job a lot more difficult. And if we have a system that can automate and do that stuff for them, we need to figure out ways to do that. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I really like that answer, especially the automation aspect. Now that Oracle has acquired Cerner, it'll be interesting to see how the whole voice automated technologies like integrated into these EHR systems, because I think that that can go a long way into reducing the documentation, reducing the burden. So I'll definitely be on the lookout for that and seeing how technology can integrate into that to reduce data entry.
I was just going to mention one more thing. One thing that I've seen over the past few years that I think is really cool is a lot of these EHRs have this virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. You can talk to it and say, show me Jane Doe's past 5 labs. Like, I think there needs to be more of that. More of like machine learning and AI being used to be a better assistant, to assist the doctor better. I think there needs to be a lot more of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you provided so many great insights. I really appreciate you going through the progression of your career and giving those titles. Because that's, I think, another issue that I've heard from a lot of people. They just don't know what job titles to search. So I appreciate you providing that. And as we wrap up this interview, shifting gears a little bit, can you talk about Health IT Academy, why you started this organization, and what's the mission of the organization?
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. So Health IT Academy is something that I thought of while I was taking my master's. And it was just really important to me to be able to share the information I was learning. I felt like while I was in my master's, I was one of the people in my classes that if someone had an issue or didn't understand something, they would always reach out to me. I would always take extra time to explain it and go through different examples with them so that they understood it. And I thought, wow, it'd be nice to start a website and to reteach a lot of the stuff that I've been learning, but just like cut the fluff. Like there are people who are trying to get into this field and they need to cut the fluff. Like there are certain keywords that you can say that will make people know that you know healthcare, and you shouldn't have to go through a 2-year curriculum just to find out like those words. So I really did it for people who couldn't afford to go to a master's program or couldn't afford to go to school or are already in school and just want that additional learning. People who are also trying to upskill or are in a different career and are seeing health IT as a booming field and want to get into it. So really, this website is really a huge repository of blog articles on how you can get into health IT, the skills you need. We're also trying to add courses every month, but it's really just an all-encompassing website that we hope to just keep adding resources to help people understand what they need to know in health IT and how they can break into the game. I look at it as like a healthcare hack website. Like, here's what you need to know. So I've been working on the website for about a year now, and there's a lot more things coming. One of the things that we want to do is really dominate an event. With a lot of the metaverse talk and virtual reality, we want to create some type of virtual job fair or some type of environment virtually where people can learn different skills, whether it be workshops, and then also have like job fairs where people can actually take the information that they learn from the website and apply that to get jobs, to build their resume, to build their portfolio, whatever it may be. Once people complete those courses, the idea is every course should have a project in it. And every course is related to health IT. And you can use those projects to show people, hey, I've built a EHR database. I've built a COVID dashboard. I've built some type of algorithm that shows me the sickest patient, whatever it may be. But these are things for people who don't have the experience to say, look, you may count me out because I don't have experience or I didn't have some type of formalized healthcare degree. But look, I do this work and, you know, I've gotten my hands dirty. And that's really what healthit.academy is for. It's just a playground, a safe place for people to really just learn, upskill, and trade information so that we can all just do better in our careers. And for anybody looking into healthcare, they can definitely use those resources to break into the industry.
Oh, that's awesome. And so great that you're providing this resource to the community. Because as you said, a master's degree is not cheap and people might not have the resources to do it. But a lot of these skills, like learning Power BI, learning Tableau, learning SQL, you can do this online for free. And having, you know, your guidance as a website through these courses is really, you know, a great way for people to break into the field in a low cost. So I'm definitely going to link all the resources in the show notes that people can check out. And again, thank you so much for your insights on this episode, Patrick. It's been absolutely great. And I know my audience will really get a lot of value from what you have said today. So thank you again.
Awesome. Yeah, you're definitely welcome. I was very excited about joining. And I, to be honest, I've been looking forward to this all week. Anytime I can talk to another health IT professional or health analytics professional is always a great thing. There are so rare of us. So we want to build this community and just make it great. So I also thank you just for being a voice for people who are trying to understand like what health IT is or health informatics and or the other names, nursing informatics, whatever it may be. Like I just look at all health IT as health IT, but I love that you have had this platform and I've been a dedicated listener for the past year also. So keep it up. You motivate me also.
Thank you for listening to the Health Analytic Insights podcast. I'd love to hear from you about topics I should cover in future episodes. Please consider subscribing and leaving a review. Have a wonderful day.